Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Sally O'Cordy, and welcome to Public Advocate. I am trying to ban vaccines in 2013. I have recently met with my state senator, Joseph Addabbo, who, I realized that his father was our congressman in Queens. So he is now the state senator for my district. I used to have a different state senator, but they redistricted, and now he's my state senator. So I went to visit him to ask him to nullify the CDC schedule, vaccine schedule, and the pandemic laws as well. And I met with him, and he was very interested in what I had to say with regard to vaccines. He is a parent, and this conversation may prevent him from giving his girls or allowing doctors to give his girls the HPV vaccine. Right now in New York, we have legislation which is threatening our children, and it is introduced and reintroduced every year since 2009. It is the most horrifying legislation. It would allow a child to be given a vaccine without their parents' knowledge for any and all sexually transmitted diseases, without any minimum age even to administer such vaccinations. I was speaking to John Gilmore. So the parent doesn't know that this is happening. This could happen in school. So the parent doesn't know if they have an adverse reaction, and the HPV vaccine has been known to kill girls. If they have an adverse reaction, this does not need to be disclosed shouldn't be disclosed to the parent because of all the secrecy that surrounds sexually transmitted diseases and the reason that parents shouldn't have to be informed to begin with. So a parent can have a dead child and not a clue what happened. Now, I was speaking to John Gilmore of Autism Action Network, and he was saying that they are preparing to set up vaccine clinics within the schools themselves. So, I mean, this is astonishing, and if this law passes, we will have a horrific situation on our hands, and you will have to homeschool. No question, I would immediately if this were to pass, because... And also, even if you have an exemption, who's to say the school is going to pay any attention to that if you're not involved in this decision? So I'm about to pick up a dear friend of mine. Her name is Chelsea.
Hello.
Is Chelsea on the phone?
Yes, I'm here. Hello, Sally. How are you?
Oh, welcome, my friend. I'm so pleased that you called in. Would you like to, what message would you like to send to our audience?
To be very, if you're a parent, think twice about those vaccinations. I'm not a doctor, I'm not a scientist, nor am I a journalist, but I have researched this area a little bit, and I have just, read horror stories about people who have had vaccinations and who have been injured by them. And I also know some people in my own personal life who have had vaccines and have come down with chronic fatigue syndrome and Lyme disease from the Limerix vaccine that was then later pulled off the shelf. So I've personally known people vaccine injured, and I wonder if I, too, myself have been injured by vaccines, as my immune system isn't working well, as I battled Lyme disease and microbacterial avian lung disease now. And so ask away any questions that you might have for me or your audience.
There's something very important that you had brought up. And that is that when you transferred from college to college, and you did this how many times?
Well, actually, I went through an Open University program in Washington, D.C. for a while where I attended different universities, then ultimately transferred to California State University where I obtained my bachelor's degree and then went on to graduate school at one of the other CSU campuses. But I didn't keep, like, a close medical record, you know, of the vaccines that I had. So each institution I went to, like University of Maryland, all the state colleges, they all wanted me to have the vaccine, which they would not let me enroll in classes unless I had them. So I was kind of forced. And at that time, I didn't think anything of it. I was like, sure, you know, why not? And I had later transferred to California State University, forgetting to bring my, you know, stuff from University of Maryland, and they asked me, well, do you have this vaccine? I said, yeah, well, I have it. Well, do you have the papers for it? No. Well, you're going to need to have the vaccine or we will not allow you to register for your courses or move into the dormitories. So I just figured, oh, well, I'll have the vaccines. Again, this was like four times in college, and I attended college from the age 16 to just 2 weeks shy of my 20th birthday for undergraduate school. And then for graduate school, I repeated that process and had vaccines there. So like five vaccines within a four-year period, many of them like repetitive. And I did not get ill, though, until years later. I got Lyme disease, but then my immune system seems to not work, and now I have a lung disease that, you know, there's a microbacterial lung disease. It's non-tuberculosis avian lung disease complex, and it takes a lot of antibiotics for like 2 years to try to eradicate this illness. And the doctors are wondering why I got this to begin with, because usually this happens in people who are immune deficient, like with cancer or with AIDS, which I have not, neither one. So I don't know if the Lyme disease weakened my immune system to get this lung disease too, or, and then why was I not, you know, recovering from Lyme? A lot of people do. The vast majority of people who get Lyme disease recover, but then there are a portion of the population who don't, and it goes into a chronic phase, although there's medical debate on that, you know, the chronicity of Lyme disease. So, I mean, it's...
Well, also, I was interviewing a fellow by the name of Lloyd Phillips, and he was saying that vaccines can reawaken a condition you may have had previously.
So yeah, I have heard that from my doctor as well. People also... With some vaccines, you could get the disease itself. There was in the late 80s, early 90s, a vaccine called Limerix on the market. It was for a Lyme vaccine. And people who had actually received that vaccine, a good portion of them actually got Lyme disease itself. And Merck, who was the manufacturer of that product, they pulled it from the market when they saw so many people were getting, you know, sick from it. But their take on it was, well, these people aren't sick from the vaccine. We just happened to take Limerix off the market because it wasn't profitable enough for us. So they used profit as a reason why they immediately took it off the market after so many people were getting injured from it, when actually so many people had gotten Lyme from it. I'm familiar with a lot of people with Lyme disease in the United States and Europe. I've corresponded back and forth with many in the Lyme community, and a significant amount of people who received that vaccine were injured. And
well, I want to say two things in that regard. One of the things that you're saying, that your immune system is destroyed, that is that is exactly what vaccines do. They destroy your immune system.
Right.
And
oh, I know.
Another thing you brought up was that that you got the disease that the vaccine was supposed to prevent. And this is what Dr. Tomal Genovic's information that she received after 7 years of waiting and a court order to receive information from the CDC, and the point being that they intend to give you the disease they claim they are inoculating you to prevent. So this is why we have to go to our legislators at the local and federal level and say, here's legislation, a resolution locally, and a legislation for federal to ban vaccines. And you go to your state legislators and say, nullify the CDC vaccine schedule and pandemic laws. The intent, we know the ingredients at this point. We know the diseases that result because they're the diseases that are intended. And we know the intent, so there's just no reason at this point not to say put a moratorium forthwith on this mad program of inoculating people.
Right, right. I have a friend who believed she was injured by the vaccines. After a series of vaccines, she came down with, hello?
I'm right here.
Hello.
I'm right here.
She came down with an illness, chronic fatigue syndrome, and she will not allow her children to go to public school because they are forced to be vaccinated. She homeschools her children, which she happens to have a master's degree in teaching, thank goodness, so she's homeschooled her children. And
well, what I'm saying about vaccines in schools is, first of all, I just saw a one-minute video by a Dr. Eisenstein, who has had 30,000 patients himself and a group of others, not one of them inoculated, not one of them has autism. So he said, no vaccines, no autism. So what we're doing to our children is dumbing them down to send them to school. Sounds brilliant. What a great plan.
Yeah, all I know is after I received some vaccines as a child, I was extremely sick after the vaccine, but I seemed to bounce back. But, I mean, then in my adulthood after I was enrolled in law school in Indiana, and then I began to have symptoms, and then it wasn't until 2007 I was diagnosed with Lyme disease, and then I only got the usual 30-day treatment, which helped somewhat but didn't alleviate all of my symptoms. And then I began to get sicker and sicker, and now I've been diagnosed the end of January with this lung disease. And I'm wondering, you know, my parents were healthy. Why am I getting all of this, you know, stuff, you know? And I know I had a series of vaccines, and I went to an immunologist at the University of Miami, and they looked at my natural killer cells, you know, under microscope, and they said not only were they low, like with somebody with late-stage AIDS, but they were not functioning either. And I'm wondering what happened to my body to make this happened to me. I mean, is it, you know, the is it some things in the environment? Is it the vaccines? Is it the GMOs in the food, or a combination of everything? But I just know, I think had I not had all of these vaccines and been exposed to, you know, this toxins in the food that the government allows, that's yet another issue. But I wonder if I would be a healthy adult, because I became ill at the age of 24. I'm 34 now, and I've been sick for, about 9 years now. And, you know, And I also have another friend who was a flight attendant. She traveled internationally, and she received a series of vaccines, and within 2 weeks she became ill and then was later diagnosed with chronic fatigue syndrome. And I know of cases in the UK that were in the media, the Sophia Mirza case.
Did you say
and,
that, you're, that this airline stewardess, did you say she passed away? She had,
yeah. No, she
right.
didn't pass away. She still lives with chronic
with the fact that she actually passed away.
Now, she got a series of vaccines in 2000 and remains ill today. There is a case in the UK. The young lady's name was Sophia Mirza, M-I-R-Z-A. She had a series of vaccines to go on a trip to Africa. Within a couple of weeks, came down ill and was diagnosed with chronic fatigue syndrome, and she has passed away. It's all over
well,
the
sorry,
internet.
I thought the other woman had. So this woman, the woman who went
okay.
to Africa and got those vaccines, let me tell you, I have a friend who just came back from Africa, and I talked to her, and she said, I have a raging fever, and I am yellow. And I said, it sounds like you have yellow fever. She said, well, that's what they inoculated me against when I went to Africa.
Oh. Oh, goodness. Has she had everything else checked out, like her liver and all of that? And
well, she basically said that she has a protocol to detox. And I will certainly give you her information when I get off the phone. She looks fine now. Last time I saw her, she looked fine. But if you don't know how to address these things and if you don't take action forthwith, then your immune system will be destroyed and open the door for all other kinds of diseases.
Cancers and things like that.
Well, I understand that there's a famous quote from a doctor who treated cancer patients, and this was in the day when not everybody got inoculated. And he said, this is in the 1800s, okay? So this was not in the day when not everyone did get inoculated. And he said, I have never seen a case of cancer in an uninoculated person. So he had 200 patients. In a time when not everyone did get inoculated, and all of his cancer patients had been inoculated, 100% of them.
Right. I'm wondering, you know, what is this where we can't have a choice? Because if all these other people choose to be inoculated, they think it's all fine and great. Why are they worried about other people who don't want to be inoculated? If they're so confident that their inoculations are going to keep them safe, why are they insisting that other people have them too? You know, I guess
well,
it's a big
farm. Well, that is the $64,000 question, Chelsea. You have just posed the $64,000 question. If
yeah,
they work, why are they worried about other people? Right on.
Yeah, people who do not want to have them. My
well,
suggestion—I mean,
I
I'm not a parent, but if I were, I would not enroll my child in public school where they insist on having these. I would not vaccinate my child if I had a child. I wouldn't do it. I would.
If I had it to do over, Chelsea, I certainly wouldn't do it. You can rest assured of that. But the thing is this. They do have exemptions in different states, and I send people to the National Vaccine Information Center to find out what exemptions you can get in your state, but not all states have exemptions if your children
what
are to attend school.
What states do have exemptions?
Almost all of them, but a few of them, like Maine, for example, has a medical exemption, a religious exemption, and a philosophical exemption. So when a legislator there proposed that doctors inform parents of the ingredients within vaccines and remind them that they had the option to refuse, this was a great piece of legislation. It didn't pass the Senate, but I cannot translate this legislation to my state where we don't have the option, we don't have a philosophical exemption, and we can't just refuse. Paperwork must be submitted. It must be notarized, and it must be approved. So this is legislation I would like actually to introduce here as certainly a secondary legislation to ban vaccines entirely, because I don't feel that a choice regarding giving your child poison or not giving your child poison is an appropriate choice. This is not a choice that should even be presented.
Right. It certainly isn't the land of the free, is it? It certainly flies in the face of freedom.
Well, I have to say that, I mean, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, we are talking about life. We're not even going to liberty, because liberty is all about choices, but we're just talking about life. That's the first tenet. And if you are going to destroy someone's immune system, they will either have no life or have no quality of life.
Right. Well, I don't know. What do you think is going to happen in this country? Do you think, I mean, I'm concerned about this forcing women or the children to have the STD things and...
Well, yeah, there are some states that are doing just that. California has lost its mind. They have enacted a bill that at the top of the show I was describing, where children can be inoculated for any sexually transmitted disease without the parents' consent, hence
that's
without
scary,
the parents'
without parental consent. That's like the government really taking over in the family. That's a real intrusion. I mean,
and also, even if you had an exemption, this is the kind of a law that would completely ignore that exemption.
Right.
Because it's not about the parents' religious belief, which they took away under a different bill in California, so they've even removed that. But if you are in a situation where it's up to the child to literally fight the establishment, they are, and the parent can't even be informed, the parent's religious beliefs are irrelevant. So even if you could have a religious exemption, that's a situation where they could basically dismiss it. And the whole thing is a nightmare, and that's why we have to ban them and cancel the CDC schedule and say, this is poison, and these are my children, and no way in God's green earth are you going to be sticking my kids. This is where I draw the line. Today is an event I have called Line in the Sand. Educate parents at beaches today. We are where I am is raining, so this is a bad day for me to do it, but I'll do it tomorrow. You know, because we have to, wherever families congregate, that's where to go. And don't for a second hesitate in the face of derision. In the face of derision, don't hesitate. This is a life that you could save. You know, and that's how I see it. So, sweetheart, I want you to take a little time, if you would. First of all, you are so ill that you are afraid you are not going to recover. Am I correct?
Well, it's complicated. Generally, this lung disease is treatable, albeit it's long-term, and most people can recover from it. That's if your insurance company wants to pay for the for the long-term antibiotics, and if one can't tolerate antibiotics by oral, you know, antibiotics, which I can't tolerate, insurance companies such as Blue Cross Blue Shield, which I have, they're hesitant, very hesitant to pay for IV antibiotics, which can save a person's life. So again, we've got a situation like vaccines and insurance companies running the show where profits come before people. It's a very sad situation in this country that big pharma and the insurance industry matter more than human life. But in fact, it sadly it does. I mean, somebody's really making a lot of money from these vaccines. I think that's why they're being pushed so much, because, like, why else? If those who really want it get it, what are they afraid of? You know, if for those who don't want it, the other ones who don't want it, supposedly, on, you know, their rationale, will die, but they will survive. So why are they worried about it? You know what I mean? If that were to be the case.
Well, a friend of mine, Lloyd Phillips, I'm going to quote him again, but I thought this was inspired. He said that it's the people who are being inoculated who are diseased now and who are spreading disease. And he recommended that you storm into your local town hall meeting and say that everyone who has been inoculated must be quarantined for 3 weeks, so that they don't spread the disease they now have.
Yeah.
And so it's the opposite. The greater good would be to take the people who have been injected with this disease and now have the disease. And I don't see any benefit to treating anybody poorly for any reason, but it brings home the truth of the fact that the diseased people are the ones who have been inoculated with it, instead of the polar opposite. The greater good would be to ask people who've been inoculated to not go out into the general public until at least 3 weeks has passed, which is a typical shedding period. Other vaccines will shed for far longer than that.
Yeah. Hmm.
You become a carrier, basically, once you've been injected with a virus.
Right. And not just the virus, but what about the other ingredients used in the vaccines? Are they harmful to the central nervous system? One has to ask that.
Oh, absolutely. There's no question about that. I interviewed Dr. Carl
the immune
about
system. Yeah.
I interviewed Dr. Crawley about what causes autism, and she said it's not mercury, but mercury and aluminum cause Alzheimer's, and she's saying the live virus itself is what causes the autism. There's antifreeze in there. I would love to know what benefit antifreeze has to any of our children, and there are, of course, they grow these viruses on tissues of different animals. So you are getting the tissues of pigs and I read dogs, monkeys, cows injected. And my understanding from her is that your body is building. Let's say you get a muscle tissue from a pig. Okay, you not only have the live virus that's on it, but you have the muscle tissue that you build up antibodies against, and then you work on. Then you continue to build up antibodies against your own muscle. There's a lot of fibromyalgia going down. This is a disease of the muscles, and this is completely relevant to vaccination.
Right. A lot of fibromyalgia. Well, fibromyalgia is not a real disease in and of itself. It's one of those categories doctors just shove you in when they don't know what to do with you. I've met many who turned out to have Lyme disease or hypothyroidism or toxicity in their body. I mean, it's not like a disease. It's like a wastebasket diagnosis when they don't know what's wrong. They just kind of stick you in there. But, yeah, people in that category, yeah, you wonder how did these people get sick and why is this all coming down in the last, you know, several years. I mean, in our grandparents' generation, did we hear about this? I mean, you know.
No, we didn't. And I know my sister was one of the early people affected by vaccines, and I never knew that she was one of the people who had fallen. My mother was forever scratching her head, going, well, giving kind of half assumptions, always looked confused by what happened, and I finally found out that she hadn't always been severely mentally retarded. This was an amazing thing for me because she was 8 years older than I was. But my sister, who was only a couple of years older than she, remembered her as normal. And my mother said, when I'm 50 years old, I find out that she used to be normal. Well, so this was after her third annual checkup. Judging by the timing of everything, my mother said it was after her checkup. She looked away and never looked back. But there's so much disinformation, Chelsea, that I met a woman the other night in the pizza parlor who has five grandchildren. Four of them are autistic, and they kept telling her two children, among which she has five grandchildren, that, oh, the vaccines are perfectly safe, and no, the autism is not as a result of the vaccines. And finally, by the fifth grandchild, they just said, you're lying, this is doing it. And, you know, here's one child left to pick up the pieces for her two siblings and two cousins. How is she going to do that? Where is the future of this country? And everybody's dying before their time. My sister died in her early 20s. So everyone's dying before their time. They're living a terrible quality of life. And they're even spreading disease to other people. There's everything to say, halt this immediately.
Right. Yeah, if I could, you know, my mother didn't know any better. She thought the doctors and the government, you know, when they said I needed vaccines when I was little, she just cooperated. And, yeah, it's important to reach those parents for them to stand up and say no to this crap, you know.
Well, there are also doctors who will inoculate your child, and in one case, my little boy was inoculated. I was talking to my mother. The doctor walks in the room, and I look up, and he's patting my son's arm. And I said, what did you just do? And he said, I vaccinated your son. I said, I didn't say you could do that. So I said to him, I want to talk to you about this. I want to give permission for this kind of a thing, not knowing, you know, what the rules and regulations are. I just was stunned that he would do something without
I would consider that a form of battery without asking, you know.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying the police should be arresting these people. No arrests are ever made. There is every exception. If you're wearing a white coat, you're not liable. You can't be arrested. And I'm saying, let's pretend they weren't wearing a white coat. What would we do then? Do that now.
Right. Right. Yeah. That's how long ago did this happen?
Where else can you go in for a minor with a minor problem to a hospital, and you never check out? Bernie Mac, I have huge questions about that situation. There was nothing seriously wrong with this man, and he didn't make it out. And as far as I'm concerned, the world lost one of the greatest comedians in the history of comedy. This man was hilarious. And when I read that he had gone in for something minor and then never came out, that really kind of was a turning point for me in terms of what's going on here. Well, it's going on every single day of the week. It's the only place you can be murdered and have nobody arrested. And it's happening to babies constantly. We have the number 68 in day of birth survival. The United States is number 68 of all the countries in the world. And day of birth survival. This is because of the vaccines. And if a parent says, I think this had to do with the vaccine that my child didn't survive, and then it becomes shaken baby syndrome, and we throw the parent in jail for having that assumption.
One thing that I find interesting is that these children are born perfectly fine, and then it's after that 18-month mark or two, around the 2 years after they have certain amount of vaccines that they develop that autism and then these different learning difficulties. And, you know, I find that strange that they're developmentally.
Well, a lot of babies aren't getting that far. This is my whole point. They're not even getting that far. We're number 68 in day of birth survival. They're not getting to that two-year-old. I thought with the HPV vaccine, oh, are we going to allow them to get old enough to enjoy their first kiss before we knock them off? Well, now they're just they're just knocking them off. They exit the womb. I am so over, just, I'm out of my mind about this, Chelsea, what our country is allowing, and nobody ever is culpable, liable, arrestable, and enough is enough is enough.
Right. Sadly, Big Pharma runs this country. It's one of the big players who run this country, and it's sad. I mean, they don't care about human life. It's profits before people with this Big Pharma industry and the health insurance industry. It's profits before people, before human life.
Well,
and when you have that, it's you know, where do you go from there?
Cool.
And they don't have enough physicians to treat people who've been vaccine damaged. Where do you go? Who can help people who are vaccine damaged?
Physicians are not going to help them. I believe that we need to turn to holistic helpers. I have recommended Dr. Carly a myriad of times because she's been doing it the longest, and she has the greatest amount of success with anything. The sooner you appeal to her for help, the better the scenario is. And she's very, very rigid. You must follow her protocol. You can't interpret it. Or she basically can help you, but you must follow the guidelines, and that makes sense. But there are others as well. But she's just been doing it longer than everyone else. And you know, nobody promises 100%. But even if you can just get better than you are with these pharmaceuticals, the doctors manage your illness. What does that mean? There's no such thing as a cure anymore. Nobody gets cured of squat.
Right, right. Well, you know, it's just difficult. I mean, yeah. Where do these people go for help? I guess the best thing to do is to prevent, you know, and get out the information you need, and you do a great service to humanity, Sally, by dedicating, you know, your time to this cause. I admire that. And I think prevention at this point is the best that we can do, you know, to, you know, give the parents information and make an informed decision.
I'm using the quote from Einstein, intellectuals solve problems, geniuses prevent them, ban vaccines. Because the real prevention is in not taking the inoculation, not the pretend prevention that inoculations are. But I am hoping, since we only have 5 minutes left, Chelsea, I am hoping that you will give a shout-out to your friends and, you know, give them a message.
Well, I would like to say hi to Paul Barrow. He's an activist in the U.S., interested in many issues, mostly anti-war and other things going on, and trying to build a progressive community. He's doing work up in Detroit to try to, you know, get jobs and things like that going with clean energy. And then I would like to say hello to Joda Mitchell, another activist, and to all of my friends in the Lyme community, hello. And Sally, thank you for inviting me to come on to your show. I greatly appreciate it.
Oh, it's such a pleasure. I'm thrilled to be speaking with you, Chelsea. You know that. I love you, my friend. I am so sorry for all the challenges you are facing every moment of every day with your immune system as compromised as it is.
Yes. Well, thank you. Well, thank you for your you know, for your support and your friendship, and mostly thank you for what you do for others, you know, with the vaccine awareness. And
we're beyond awareness. We're beyond awareness, Chelsea. We're calling for them to nullify the CDC schedule and pandemic laws because we know the ingredients, we know the diseases they cause, and we know the intent to cause them. So there's nothing left to find. Nullify, nullify, nullify. Or just legislatively ban them, create resolutions, legislation, nullify, anything you need to do to stop the madness. Because as hard as I try to educate people, the real education comes in their own vaccine-injured child. I don't want it to get that far. I'm trying to prevent that. I can't say I'm succeeding. It is, in fact, the vaccines that are my greatest. I can claim success because of the harm the actual vaccines are doing. So
right.
This is not what I wanted. This is no way what I wanted. I wanted to prevent people from taking these.
Right.
And that's what I'm looking to the government at this point must step in and say no more.
Yeah, as long as the government is run by Big Pharma and the health insurance industry and Wall Street, that's going to be a very tough uphill battle because it's not like we have a real democracy in the U.S. anymore. I mean, were we the people or the government? I mean, that's just, I don't believe that anymore, sadly. I believe these corporations run the government, and this vaccine thing is all a part of that, and it's all about profits over the safety and well-being of human beings, of human life. So that's what's happening.
What we have to do as individuals is say to ourselves, I don't have to visit the pediatrician because every time I visit the pediatrician tries to hurt my child. So that makes sense. Just
right,
don't go near
that,
them.
Those are the way the medical profession is largely medical schools are funded by the pharmaceutical industry. So this is what doctors know. They don't. Most of them don't know any better. And I think it's also important to, if physicians need to be awakened to this, because a lot of them really believe they're doing the right thing. I mean, this is what they're told in medical school. They're being, you know, given the big pharma education in medical school, and this is what they believe they're doing the right thing. And sadly, you know, they need to look
is there other
publications out there by other physicians who have written studies against vaccination? I know that there are physicians out there, especially in the alternative community, who, you know, speak out against vaccination, but are there actual, you know, physicians who have been.
There are. Let me
published.
Tell you, because I have interviewed most of them and will be interviewing more of them. But Dr. Rebecca Carley is at the top of that list. She is a surgeon. And the thing is, what they do in a medical school is they indoctrinate you, which is where the word doctor comes from. And to be indoctrinated is to not question. But there's Dr. Carley, Dr. Vera Scheidner, Dr. Shiv Chopra, Dr. Guy Langstop, Dr. Banks, Dr. Suzanne Humphreys, Dr. Lucija Tomljenovic, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, Dr. Russell Blaylock, Dr. John Robb, Dr. Mayer Eisenstein, Dr. Larry Pavlevsky, and, of course, Dr. Wakefield. But there are doctors who are speaking out, all of them,
But media obviously doesn't pick this up because, look at who runs the media.
Well, they only pick it up in order to deride. They only the pharmaceutical medical establishment would have no clients if they didn't deride the doctors who are saying the obvious. I'm not even saying these people are geniuses. I'm saying they're at least wise enough to question when they see a child is injured